Welcome everyone to worship. We are joined by the Spirit of God and by our love for each other. I trust you are all well and enjoying the changeable weather. Once again, we have been blessed in our community outreach and we thank the Lord for that. It's such a pleasure to welcome back yet more of our summer visitors and indeed some new people. And it was great to have Margaret back with us again after she had spent some 3 months in hospital, both in Boston and in Yorkshire. She's finally decided not to move to Yorkshire and so is back in her flat in Skegness and once again helping in the charity shop, which she enjoys so much and which gives her an opportunity to meet people rather than be stuck at home on her own. We thank the Lord for taking care of her and answering prayer. Our thanks once again to Eleanor and Margaret and of course Elsie for their dedicated work for the Lord. Let us now prepare for worship. Let us pray. Loving God, as we gather in our place of prayer and worship, we pray for those gathered in their special places, wherever they are in the world, in ones and twos, tens and twenties, or hundreds and thousands. May all our praise and our prayers overspill into the streets and the cities, the fields and the lanes, so that a continual chorus of thanksgiving will echo in every corner of the earth, and your name be exalted in all the world. Amen. So now be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. Let's sing, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 67 we read, May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. Well, for weeks, even months now, the headlines have been about various rulers of countries, and our own Prime Minister has been in the news practically every day. But you know, whoever has the power of leadership, the real ruler of our lives is Jesus, as we heard from the psalmist, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. God is of all time and all people. He will be gracious to us and bless us. His face will shine upon us. His saving power will be known among all nations. So come now to praise God in song and prayer. Let us be glad and sing for joy, lifting praises to our gracious God, whose light shines upon us, who is the King of Kings. Let's sing, King of Kings, Majesty. Kings, Majesty, the God of light and life, you see all our problems and our pains. As we gather today in your presence, help us to open our hearts and minds to you, to receive your healing and forgiveness, and to learn how we can bring hope and healing to others. Lord, you call us by name. You number the hairs of our head. You know all our needs before we ask. We bring you our emptiness and come seeking your love. We bring our sorrows and come seeking your joy. We bring our fears and come seeking your peace. But most of all, we bring you our thanks that you are the King of Kings, that you are our Father in heaven. Amen. Well, our theme this month has been responding to Easter. Over the weeks since we celebrated Easter together, we have been exploring just what our response to Easter should be. We have seen that immediately following his resurrection, Jesus sent out his disciples to tend his sheep with the very clear instructions that they must remain in the flock, the words Jesus uses to describe his people. And last week we looked at how the new life in Christ we have as followers of Jesus is changing our lives. And we saw how God isn't waiting for some end time, but is already in the process of making all things new. Remember, he said, "I am making all things new." Not, "I'm going to make all things new in some future date." I'm making all things new right now. Every single day offers us an opportunity to be part of that renewal, that new life. Today we continue our reflection of our response to Easter by reminding ourselves again that Jesus offers us that new life. He offers us a totally new way of life, which we can begin to live right now, despite all that is going on in the world and in our lives. In the book of Revelation, the vision that is given to John is of a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, a new place, or we could say, a new way. And last week we saw in Revelation the joy that will be ours when we finally meet with God. Never again will they hunger or thirst. Neither the sun nor any scorching heat will burn them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Today we explore the theme, a new way. You know, the New Testament church was often referred to as the way. Jesus introduced a new way of living, God's way, a way of living whereby we will inherit the kingdom of God. In order to bring that new way fully into being, we have to be part of that new way of living. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So there you have it. By following Jesus, we are following the new way. But as I've said before, we're not just followers, following like sheep. We are the new way, actively working to bring the love of God into the lives of all people. Let us pray. Lord our God, we bow in adoration. There is no need of sun or moon in the radiance of your majesty, for you light up our world with your glory. We bow in adoration, basking in the light of your love and exalting your name. You cause our hearts to leap for joy. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. You open our eyes to see your creation in all its beauty and the hope of a life spent with you. So, Lord, here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you're our God. Amen. So let's sing Light of the World.
Step down into darkness, oh. altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Lord, accept the praise that we bring, because you are altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. You are altogether lovely.
Let us pray. Lord, you give us life. Every day you offer us a new life. A life lived as you created us to live. A life of love demonstrated and lived out by your dear Son. But we confess, Lord, that there are times when we don't live life the way you wish us to. When pain has us in its grip, we may give in to the gloom of pessimism. Forgive us when we see only the gloomy downside of situations. Forgive us when circumstances take over and moaning is easier than fighting. Dark times sap our strength and courage and blind us to your light. Renew our strength to fight our way into your healing light. Forgive us and rekindle the light of hope in these times. Lord, that all shall be well. May we be more like you, Jesus. Fill our hearts with your desire to make us more like you. Through the blood of the Lamb, we are forgiven and cleansed. And so we praise you, Lord, for your Son, the Lamb, who came, who through the cross paid the price for our sins. Thanks be to the Lamb of God. Amen. So let's sing again. Let's sing More Like You, Jesus.
To make me more like you.
Let us again come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, you walked among your people, seeing need and reaching out, bringing healing and wholeness, comfort and release. And today, Lord, we bring our prayers for those we encounter as we walk among your people, for those who we meet face to face, those who we had planned to meet, and those we encounter unexpectedly, for those we hear of near and far, and those for whom life is not plain sailing, comfortable or carefree. We bring our prayers for those whose situations and needs challenge and change us and move us to places we hadn't thought possible, and for those who stir us out of our comfort zone as we step out daily in faith. We pray for those ordinary folk who seek to live in peace and harmony, but whose political leaders seek to stir up trouble and fear and hate with their neighbours. We pray for those dragged into fighting for survival, livelihood and future. We pray for those dragged into the Russian-Ukrainian war, for the suffering, death, grief, fear and deprivation that they all have to endure, and for their lives, families, histories and nations change forever. We pray for those in Gaza and Israel and those across the Middle East who struggle with hopes and fears, trying to find ways forward to bring peace, comfort, fairness and hope. We pray for those in our own towns, cities and villages who struggle with the present economic and social challenges. Those who once felt comfortably off, who now face a far bleaker future. And for those who need a helping hand from those of us who can offer one. We pray for those who once found life plain sailing, but now find themselves in the midst of a storm, with waves of fear and pain, need and anguish. And Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world. We pray for the church communities where we have fellowship in your name, and for the communities we serve. We pray for these and all those whose names and needs rest heavily on our lives this day. And in a moment of quiet, we remember them before you now, Lord. Lord Jesus, breathe your peace deep into the hearts of all who we pray for and fill them with the knowledge of your presence. And Lord, we pray that we, as your followers, have faith enough to step out into you in your name, to reach out to those around us who challenge our presumption and some plans. Give us an acceptance of the leading of your Spirit. May we offer where we can words of faith, hope and love, and tables of fellowship and hospitality. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, make us channels of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Amen. So let's sing, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Once again, we pause to bring our offering to the Lord. And it's not just the tithings of our financial money that we make to the Lord. It's also the work that we do for him in so many different ways. So let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Lord, as we continue to celebrate the most special of days, we once again say thank you with all of our being for the risen Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So during this month, we've been delving into the book of Revelation. This is the Apostle John's vision of hope and healing for the world. He sees God and Jesus form the temple in New Jerusalem. And they are the light of the world. John sees the water of life flowing clear and bright like crystal, and the tree of life bearing fruit that will bring healing to all nations. Together, the tree, water, and light give life to all things, a hopeful picture of the future for all humanity and all God's creation. This account of John's vision was written for Christians facing extreme persecution. And the powerful imagery encouraged them to hang on to the promise that, in the end, light will triumph over darkness, hope over despair, and all people, nations, and indeed all of creation will be healed and made whole. Truly, all shall be well. Well, While this may seem far removed from the world as we know it, there is much in our lives and in the world where God's hope and healing are needed. Today we look at how God might use us as agents of hope and healing for others, as we turn our attention to the new way which God brings to all who trust him for the future. In the book of Revelation we read that the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem, descends from heaven, from God himself. It's a graphic description of the theology that God will dwell in the midst of humanity. In the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, God did dwell among us and has continued to do so through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, until God comes again in glory to reign over the whole earth. Then we will see God face to face. God will reign forever. But such a reign is not a claim for earthly power like our competing politicians. Instead, it's a description of freedom. It's a new way. Let's hear now from the book of Revelation.
The reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 and 22, to chapter 22, verse 5. One of the seven angels came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So next Thursday, May the 29th, is Ascension Day, the day when the risen Lord Jesus once again left his disciples. But this time the departure is just a little more dignified than death on a cross. Now the disciples have a clearer understanding of what is going on. Now they realise that Jesus has begun to make all things new. Now they have grasped that there is a new way. But this morning, before we get to that point, we turn again to John's Gospel and we return to the intimacy of the upper room where Jesus shared the Passover supper with his closest disciples on the night he was betrayed and was handed over to be crucified. Jesus' very words draw us back to the sense of his intimacy among friends, words that will powerfully launch the worldwide mission of the new way. Jesus' words are so simple that we can easily overlook their radical implications. Loving him means keeping his word, keeping alive his teaching and obeying him. For his words have come from God the Father. If the disciples, indeed, if we are anxious about forgetting Jesus and his words, we need have no fear. For Jesus promises to send help in the form of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tries to comfort his disciples in the face of his departure by saying that his leaving and going to the Father should be a cause for rejoicing. Jesus' assurance of the Spirit's presence with his disciples and his own return to the Father are to be seen as pledges of a new intimacy between God and humanity and foretastes of the glory of the New Jerusalem, a foretaste of the new way to be enjoyed by all of us who love him and obey him. Let's hear now from the Gospel of John.
The reading is from John chapter 14, verses 23 to 29. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I'm going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen."
Well, this week's reading from Revelation gives us all hope for tomorrow, for it tells us of a place of beauty and peace, of healing and blessing. However, being realistic, such things seem so far away right now. Once again, we've been subjected to a week of gloomy news. We're all badly in need of hope. So much conflict going on around the world and even in our own country. Then there's so much talk about inflation, energy bills. With the Prime Minister, of course, finally realising that he made a very bad mistake by stopping the winter fuel allowance. Although, of course, he doesn't go as far as admitting he made a mistake. Many people are experiencing a cost of living crisis, and this is seriously affects their well-being. For the least well-off, this is indeed a difficult time. But amid all this, the Sunday Times Rich List shows that the UK has 156 billionaires. Yes, billionaires. Mind you, this is a drop from 177 in 2022. The combined wealth of the UK's billionaires stands at, wait for it, £772.8 billion. This world is not as it should be. There is such a huge chasm between the rich and the poor across the whole world. Oh, and by the way, when you're next struggling to clean up your house with the vacuum cleaner, you might like to know that James Dyson and his family are worth £13.4 billion. Another interesting billionaire is someone you probably never heard of, Denise Coates. She is the founder and joint CEO of Bet365, the online betting site. Making money by playing on people's addiction to betting. She is estimated to be worth $9.5 billion, and last year had a salary of £422 million and dividends of £48 million. How can anyone need that amount of money? I wonder, what does she spend it on? And of course, the royal family are pretty well off too. Enough said on that subject. Well, what's all this got to do with our theme today? and that wonderful vision that the Apostle John had on the river of God. Well, it's got everything to do with it. God didn't intend for us to live like this with so much inequality. The vast majority of the inhabitants of the world are in a mess because of the minority of people who place wealth at the centre of their agenda, especially those who obtain their wealth by corrupt means, usually and always at the expense of others. The symbol in today's reading from Revelation of the purifying, cleansing, life-giving river flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb is just so appropriate to the mess this country and indeed the world is in today. We desperately need that cleansing, life-giving water. But such symbolism does seem so remote from today's experience. The healing of nations seems a far cry from the reality of today's news. And yet it is such a healing that we all long for. But amid all this, we have forgotten that it's God's promise that such healing will come. And instead of doubting that it will come or asking when, we should be asking why. Why hasn't it come? Is it anything to do with us? Well, I believe that it's everything to do with us. We're like the Hebrew slaves wandering in the desert, getting impatient with God, while we ignore all that he's telling and teaching us. God will do just what he did to those ancient people of the Exodus. He will keep us wandering in the desert until we accept our own responsibility in his great plan for the new Jerusalem, until we accept and live out the new way. Well, sadly, we're facing more and more secularism. Indeed, as I've said on many times, the Christian church itself is bowing to the changes being forced on us by non-believers. There was a time when the laws of our country were founded on the Christian faith. Not so anymore. Indeed, many of our laws are being tilted towards other faiths, even Islamic law, the Sharia law, is bound into our state laws. Christianity is also under attack from other faiths. Those sort of attacks won't go away until there is a revival of the Christian faith in this country and indeed across the world. A revival that impacts on every walk of life, that restates itself in the basic laws of this country. The truth is that the voice of Christianity is, by and large, nowhere to be heard except behind closed doors on a Sunday. It no longer appears to have any power in this country, despite kidding itself that it does. No longer are Christians the most influential people. Instead, it's pop stars, footballers, TV personalities, and protesters about global warming, and even politicians. In fact, Keir Starmer, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and J.D. Vance are all in the top 20 of Time magazine's list of the 100 most influential people in the world. Well, they're not necessarily powerful people. Time magazine makes it clear in its editorial that it's not about the influence of power, but the power of influence. You probably haven't heard many of the names before, but their innovations and efforts are being heralded as capable of changing the world for years to come. Of course, we'll be seeing just what the President of the USA, Donald Trump, is doing worldwide. For many people, it's an honour to appear on the list. But Time magazine likes to make it clear that the people who are nominated are recognised for the changes they've made to the world, regardless of the consequences of their actions. Basically, if you've changed the world for better or worse in a big way, you're on the list. But this statement in itself just goes to show how the world is moving further and further away from our God. Worse still, it encourages people to think that perhaps we can all live without God after all. What we forget is that any effort Christians are making, if at all, is just firefighting the problem. As I've said over and over again, it's a bit like trying to mend a leaky water tap without first turning the water off at the mains. What is needed is for people to stand up and be counted, regardless of the short-term consequences. My prayer is that our Christian voices will be heard and acted upon, and that once again Christians will win back the huge influence they had in this country and across the world in the past. The power of influence has, of course, been helped enormously by the internet, with such innovations as Facebook and X. Such media now have tremendous influential power. So has the world of entertainment also achieved a much bigger power than Christianity. It will probably come as no shock for you to learn that among the 100 most influential people are many of the world's entertainers. My question this morning is this: who is at the top of your list of the most influential people in your life? Well, before you answer, the answer should be Jesus. Why? Because only Jesus offers us a new way which will lead to eternal life. If we follow that new way, it will be tough. Jesus never promised us an easy ride, but he does promise us a destination. In fact, our Bible study this week is John 11, verse 25, where Jesus says quite bluntly, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." And he goes on to say in verse 26, "And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Then he poses a question. Indeed, the most important question. Do you believe this? Well, what politician, businessman or woman, what billionaire can offer you eternal life? Furthermore, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." So you see, we don't have a choice. If we say we love the Lord, we must also show it by obeying his teaching. Not just when we agree with his teaching or it suits us, but all the time. And Jesus said about those who love him, "My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And God does that through the power of his Holy Spirit. God can and will and does make his home within us. It's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we will be enabled to live our lives in the new way of Jesus. For Jesus is making all things new. And only being part of that new way will this world survive. And remember too that Jesus goes on to say, "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." Of course, if we don't obey God, then we can't expect to receive his protection and, more importantly, his peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Life and whatever it throws at us cannot take away the peace that Jesus offers. All the rulers and rich people of the world cannot offer what God offers, and neither can they be relied on to honour their word. Jesus said, "These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." God's word is the truth. God's way is the way, the new way. The very way that Jesus taught and lived. The way we were created to live. Our theme this month has been responding to Easter. It's absolutely vital that we respond to everything that Easter means. And we do so by caring for God's people. And you know, one of the best ways to care for them is to bring them to faith. We respond to Easter by remaining in God's flock, his people, and by accepting the new life in Christ. But most importantly, we must steadfastly live our lives God's way, the new way. I just want to close today with the words of the song, The Circle of Life. It's from the Lion King. From the day we arrive on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there's more to see than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done. There's far too much to take in here, more to find than can ever be found. But the sun rolling high through the sapphire sky keeps great and small on the endless round. It's the circle of life, and it moves us all through despair and hope, through faith and love, till we find our place on the path unwinding in the circle of life. My dear friends, we all live in and through the circle of life, but that circle of life was created by God. Only those who follow the way of Christ, the new way, will inherit eternal life to the full. Only those who follow Christ's new way will find their place on the path unwinding in the circle of life. So amid all the conflict and stress of life, the question is, will your anchor hold? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? And remember, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Amen. Let's sing, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, you shine your light into the dark places of our lives and of our world. Gentle God, you touch us with the river of the water of life. Your peace brings healing, love, and makes us whole. We ask you to be with us and shine through us this week, and use us to bring hope and healing to others. As we go now to serve you, Lord, and your people, with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.